Well, are you finished with your shopping yet? Have you started your shopping yet? You know, there are times when we go Christmas shopping, when we look for the perfect gift for a person. We think about our relationship with them. We think about who they are, maybe their personality, and we go with the idea that we're going to find a gift that sums up who they are. It'll be this gift, an expression of our love for them, and we sometimes look for really meaningful gifts. Other times when we go Christmas shopping, we think, eh, I'll get something. And there's a difference between a gift that's well thought out and well planned and then just an adequate gift, a gift that will help us get by. It's almost the difference that maybe we found between a real Christmas parent, a real Christmas present, and a stocking stuffer. You know, they're different, aren't they? A Christmas present is meaningful. A stocking stuffer might just be something light, something enjoyable. But how do you determine what's a true gift and what's just an adequate gift? Because I think there's a difference there. Let's say that a friend of yours gave you three presents. Now you have to determine whether this is a perfect gift or an adequate gift, all right? So think about these three sets of gifts. And the person comes up to you and says, I put a lot of thought into this. In fact, I thought of you when I picked this up. You open the gift, and there is a beautiful bottle of soap, a beautiful bottle of shower gel from Bath and Body Works. All right? Adequate gift or perfect gift? You open the other gift, they've still thought of you. What if it was this? What if it was just a bar of Zest soap? Is there a difference? You know, one is nice, one is adequate. How about this? You open the present and there's a nice, beautiful bottle of perfume. And you sniff it, just a beautiful fragrance. Adequate, perfect gift. You open the other option and it's a stick of deodorant. All right, you've got your next set of gifts coming and you open it up, very delectable, minty candies in a nice, bright box. You open the other one, and it's a bottle of Listerine. Is there a difference in these gifts? You know, these gifts can send two different messages. One's a great gift, one's an adequate gift. On one hand, here's some Bath and Body Works shower gel. It'll make you feel clean and refreshed. And the other gift, the bar of soap, says, you know, I think that you're a little bit dirty. You get the perfume. This will help you smell good. It'll smell so good on you. You get the other gift that really says, you need this deodorant. You really stink. You get the candy, great gift. You get the other one that says you have bad breath. And there's this big difference between the perfect gift and a gift that'll just get by, kind of an adequate gift. You see, I believe that at Christmas, when we consider the gift that God has given to us, He gave us a perfect, perfect gift in giving us His Son, Jesus. This morning, I'd like to take a look at three truths about the Christmas gift that we've received in Christ. And I believe as we consider these three gifts, we'll come to the conclusion that Jesus truly is the perfect gift. He's the greatest gift that we've ever received, and God Himself has given Him to us. So let's look at the gift of Jesus. One of the first observations that we find is that God's gift means God loves you and cares for you. When we consider this gift of Jesus, one of the messages we receive is that God loves us and deeply cares for us. God has given us this gift not because we deserve it, not because our lives are in order and somehow we've passed a test, so now we receive this reward, we receive this gift. He gives His gift to us because of His great mercy. There's a passage in Scripture in Romans chapter 5, and if you're using your notes, the verses are listed in your notes, and you can turn there now or you can turn there later. But Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, talks about this great gift that we've received. Paul writes, "You see, at just the right time, when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since now we've been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him, through Christ? For if, while we were still God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. You see, when we look at the gift of Christ to us, we realize that God loves us just the way we are. The word that's used is that God demonstrates, he lived out, he played out his authentic love for you and me by choosing to send Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins. He didn't wait for us to clean up our lives or correct our destructive behavior, try to prove to him that we were worthy. Jesus came to us while we were still really messed up. You may remember a worship song, a chorus that was sung in the 90s. Some of you older folks who can think all the way back to the 90s will remember this. The chorus is, "You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself with frail humanity. You didn't wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me." You see, God saw our need and he acted. Now we might ask, so if God accepts me and receives me just the way I am, does that mean that he condones my rebellion or that he approves my sin? Absolutely not. Scripture says that we don't go on sinning so that God can cover upon us grace upon grace upon grace. We would be taking advantage of his goodness and his grace. And so God loves us enough. This is a truth from God's word. He loves us enough that he accepts us just the way we are. But this too is true. He loves us so much that he desires to change us from the inside out, to be a strong reflection of his holiness. We still struggle spiritually. He still loves us, but he loves us so much that he wants to change us. God looked at us and chose to respond to us with love and to make us part of God's family. When Jesus was an adult, when he was ministering in his public ministry here on earth, he said this about us and our relationship with the Father. In John 14, verse 23, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Jesus came to change us, and he provided the way that he and God could be with us and live inside of us by his Spirit. You see, God doesn't just love us from a distance. He loves us so that he can be with us and live within us. When we look at this great Christmas gift, Jesus, God's gift to us, one of the messages we see, number two, is that God's message means that God values you. Do you ever think about that? The fact that God values you? Do you ever wrestle with your own worth and maybe you think, well, you know, I'm really not worthy of God's love. I mess up all the time. I'm really not good enough for God to love me. When we experience this gift of Christ, we realize that God sees us with great value and worth. When God thought of you and in your condition, he chose the gift that was not only best for you, but a gift that we would that would have great benefit for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we find a description of this value at work in us. If you want to turn to 1 Peter, it's near the end of the New Testament. It's very close to Revelation, right after the book of John. So if you're looking at my Bible, this is about where 1 Peter is. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. Peter writes, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and your hope is in God. These verses tell us that God saw that we had such a great value that he didn't buy us with something that would pass away, silver or gold. He bought us with the perfect gift of Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Jesus is designed to meet our physical needs and our spiritual needs. Jesus isn't just some random gift that we received. Maybe you've been to Top Food or Hagen Food, whatever it's called right now. It's hard for me to keep it straight sometimes. Maybe you've been to that grocery store at the corner of Cooper Point and Black Lake. Near the checkout stands, they have one of those games. It's kind of a big machine, you know, the claw machine, where you slide a dollar in and the claw moves across and you control it and it drops down. I have two nephews. They're twins. Remember, we call them the Dixie twins. They're from Georgia. When they came up to visit us just a few years ago, I discovered that these guys were enamored with the claw machine, especially my nephew Cole. He said, "Uncle Tim, could I go play the claw?" And, "Well, do you have any money?" "Yeah, I've got some." And so while we were checking out, he walked over and he started feeding dollars in, started moving the thing around. The kid blew through about 10 bucks of dollars and didn't win anything, hoping that maybe he would win some random stuffed animal. As we walked out, he was pretty disappointed, and his brother, Tyler, said, "Well, that's not a mistake you're going to make every day, unless you're my brother." And I guess this had been a pattern with him. He just couldn't resist. He couldn't resist this goofy game. When we think about the claw, we are not quite sure if it's going to work out for us. We have high hopes that it's going to happen. Some people view Jesus that way. And when they look at Jesus as God's gift, they think, "Well, maybe he'll be good enough for me." And yet God specifically sent his son to be the perfect gift for us. Pursuing gifts that way can be frustrating. About a week ago on Facebook, a friend of mine who lives in the Middle East, she lives in a country that borders the Red Sea, and she walked into one of the big malls in the town where she lived, and as she walked in, someone greeted her, welcomed her, and said, "It's your lucky day. We're going to let you win an exciting gift." And she said, "Well, what do I have to do?" And they said, "We want you to play the claw." And she thought, "Well, I've done that before. I'll do that. How does it work?" And they took her into a room and they put a harness on her. And then they put a foam hat on her. And then they put boxing gloves on her hand. And she went out and they hooked her up to this giant claw machine. She became the claw. And she realized as she was hooked in that she wouldn't be the one controlling herself as she hoped to get some prize. And there was somebody with a joystick and they moved her around and then they dropped her and she had to grab this present with these huge mittened hands and hold on to it with all of her strength to win this game. Sometimes when we approach Christ in our faith, we think, "Well, I hope that I can hang on to him and I hope this gift works out for me and I hope that I have a good gift." And when God looks at us, he sees that we can't hold on to the gift of Christ on our own. There's nothing in our strength or by our will that can cause us to attain salvation except by placing our faith and trust in God who directs our steps and Christ who has come to redeem us and save us. He is God's perfect gift for us. He was sent because God values you greatly. Our value is evidenced through the value of God's gift. God has given us his great gift through Christ, and because of that, we're blessed. We've been given the precious gift of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away our sins. When Jesus came, he came as a human just like you and me. Scripture teaches us that we were created in the image of God. And because His image is impressed upon us, because we were created to be like Him, you and I have great value. And so when Christ came, He came as one of us. He came in the image of humanity so that we could relate to Him. You see, apart from God's image at work in us, humanity would be merely a collection of biological life forms struggling to survive. It is God's image in us that gives us great value and sets us apart from the rest of creation. Without His image, we would be beings at a very base level, like cattle who graze or fish that scavenge in the bottom of rivers and streams and the ocean. Because of God's image, you and I have great value, and because of that value, God sent Jesus, the image of God, to be our Redeemer. A third message that comes up as we look at this great gift given to us is that Christmas means, or the gift of God to you and me means, that we've been given a perfect example to follow. We've been given this gift that we can look to as one who lived in a perfect relationship with God. God loves us just the way we are, but He loves us so much that He desires to transform us. And that takes place when we fix our eyes on Jesus, Scripture says, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. We look to Him and we dedicate ourselves to live and to pursue His holiness, and this transformation begins to take place. Jesus is the perfect example. For the basic needs that we have, we can look to Christ and realize that He provides everything for us. Very basically, we can go to God through prayer. We can receive salvation through faith. We saw Jesus live out these principles in His life, very basic things. But then in the more complicated issues of life, resisting temptation, surrendering to the Holy Spirit, taking on the characteristics of the Spirit through displaying love and patience and kindness and goodness and all of those fruits of the Spirit, when we look to Jesus, we find the perfect example. He lived out all of those things with perfection. The word that's used in a passage that we're about to read, it's in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, we'll see the word example used by Peter. This word means the perfect model, the most accurate model that we could find, the perfect example for us to follow. 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example. You might want to underline that. It's a very key word in our relationship with God. He's given us this example. Leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. Jesus was perfect. Verse 22 says, He committed no sin and no deceit was found in His mouth. When they hurled insults at Him, He did not retaliate. When He suffered, He made no threats. Instead, He entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. For by His wounds you've been healed. For you were like sheep gone astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. The word example there is key in our relationship with Christ. That is the Greek word. It's called hypergrammos. It's used in verse 21, and it describes a perfect model displayed for a student to see and to imitate. He's the model that we should copy. Who taught you to write? Maybe you have memories of one or both of your parents sitting down with you and helping you hold a pencil or a crayon and begin to draw and to write. Maybe your parents helped to get you ready for kindergarten, refining your fine motor skills as you learn to print letters. I remember my kindergarten teacher, her name was Mrs. Sanders. And I can remember her working with us as kindergarten kids, working to read very simple stories. And I remember one particular reader that we had. It was a small booklet, and the story was written, and just underneath was a space where we could copy the letters that were in the sentence. And I remember one specific story about a mouse named Mitt. And being the dyslexic prodigy that I was, I quickly discovered that the word Mitt is Tim backwards. And I found great affection for that small mouse. I can still remember writing his name and thinking about mine. I can remember in both kindergarten and then in first grade, my first grade teacher's name was Mrs. Gandhi. Both of those teachers had above the blackboard these 12 by 12 inch squares. And on each of the squares was a capital letter and then a lowercase letter. And the posters were right on top of the blackboard so that as we heard her teaching and as we began to write, we could look up and see what the letters were supposed to look like. And beside each of the capital and lowercase letters was an object that corresponded to the letters. Do you remember that when you went to elementary school? So next to the A was a... Exactly. Next to the B was a... Right. Next to the C was a, and D was a, and E was a, an elephant. An elephant. That's right. You guys must have been to the same school that I went to. Let's go through the rest of the alphabet together. You have great memories. Now, in third grade, I was 17 years old. No, I wasn't. In third grade, my third grade teacher was Mrs. Mallory. And once we had mastered the block letters, a new group of letters appeared. They were cursive letters. And then we were able to follow the pattern of the cursive letters. And we went through and we learned how to read and we learned how to write, and you probably did the same. Those cards were hypogrammos, the basic examples for students to see, to understand, and imitate. Jesus is the basic and complex model for our lives. He is God's perfect letter to us. He's the template, the ideal standard, the pattern, and the picture by which we should live. This great gift to us means that God has given us an example. Jesus is the clear and perfect declaration of God's patience and His mercy. None of us deserve mercy, and yet Jesus came to rescue us from the power of sin and death. He came to restore the image of God in us. It took God Himself to remake us through faith in Christ so that we would become a reflection and a projection of Himself. Now, I use that phrase occasionally, that we become a reflection and a projection of Christ. And do you understand what that means? It means as we gaze upon Christ and as we look at His example and as we desire to follow Him, we become a reflection of who He is. His radiance and His glory is reflected from our lives as other people look at the way that we live. But He's also a projection from us because the Holy Spirit of God lives in us and begins to change our thoughts and our motives and our attitudes. And when we face circumstances and situations in life, the light and the life of Christ is projected from us by the way that we respond. People see Him at work in us, and that is part of God's great gift to us through faith in Christ. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing his good friend Timothy, he talks about the change that took place in his life, and the mercy and the grace that he'd received from Christ as he looked to Christ as the perfect example. Verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 1 says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to service. And then Paul reflects on the way his life was before Christ in verse 13. Even though I was once a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying. He's saying to his friend, mark this down, you can live by this. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example. That's the same word we looked at earlier. His eminent patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. And then he gives praise to God. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Christ, this great gift to us, is an example for us to follow. You see, God gave Jesus as this living example so that we, like Paul, might bring honor and glory to God himself. In 1739, a guy named Charles Wesley, a great man of God, wrote a hymn for Christmas morning. That was the title of it, A Hymn for Christmas Day. And it captures the beauty and the grace of God's great gift to us through Christ. You've sung this song a lot in your life. Are you familiar with it? A Hymn for Christmas Day? We know it by the title, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Have you thought about the lyrics of that song? The theology that is packed into the message of Scripture? The description of the beauty of Christ as God's gift to you and me, and how our lives are changed when we encounter Christ through faith. Listen to the words. Hark, the herald angels sing. Listen, the angels of heaven are singing. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations, rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Christ, by highest heaven adored. Christ, the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Hail the flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Isn't that a great encapsulation of the Christmas message? Christ given as God's gift to us? And so questions that you might think about this morning, a question would be, how will you bring glory to the newborn King? How will you bring glory to Christ? What will you do with this gift that God has given to you? Another question you might ask is, how will you allow him to transform you this Christmas? We're in a steady state of transformation when we receive Christ. Scripture tells us that if you and I have received Christ as our Savior, that the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. And he works in us to make us more like Christ until we're complete when we see Jesus face to face. How will you allow Jesus to transform you in the days to come and this next week as we prepare for Christmas? You see, the gift that we receive, Christ, is only useful if we allow him to work in us. Now, through faith in Christ, we receive salvation. That's a gift that he's given to us. But for the transformation to take place, we have to fully surrender to Christ and his Spirit. The gift is only useful if you put it to good use. This week, one of the guys in our congregation gave me a little Christmas present that he had worked on for a number of hours. It was a wooden spoon that he carved out of a piece of maple. and a beautiful spoon. And I took it home and I showed it to Meg and to Paige, and both of them were enamored with this spoon. And Paige said, "Wow, that's such a beautiful spoon. We should put it up on the wall. It would be a shame to use the spoon because it looks so nice and it smells so good and it's so soft. It's incredibly smooth. I'll have to bring it for you to try sometime. Just a great smooth spoon." And the thought was, it is a beautiful spoon, but what good is the spoon if you don't use it? God has given us the gift of His Son, and His purposes will not be accomplished in us unless we surrender to God, we surrender to Christ, and we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us. How will you let Him do that for you this morning? And then a last question that we can ask is, how will you share His love and His care with others? As this perfect example, and through the Spirit that He's given to us, we can share the love and the care of Christ to others. Now, the great thing about Jesus is that He is a gift that we can give over and over and over again. When we share the story of His birth and His life and His death and His resurrection, we share the message of His life. When we give this gift away, we also share the mission of His life, the cause that He came to accomplish, to speak good news to people that are far, that are distant from God because of sin. And when we do so, we help Jesus to accomplish His mission. We bring them into relationship with Him as we share His gift of love and His care with others. His ministry is also expressed in us as we care for the people the way that Christ has cared for us, the way we generously forgive the sins of others when they've harmed us, when we put into practice the things that we've seen at work in Jesus. How will you do those things this summer? How will you, this summer, where am I? And moving on, new year, this Christmas. How will you bring glory to Jesus? How will you allow Him to transform you? How will you allow Him to control the things that you say? How will you share His love with the people around you? Christmas is God's great gift to us, given to us so that we might give it to others. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You so much that You are the perfect gift for us. We know, God, it's not Your desire for us to live lives in a random way like the claw game where we live our lives in our own strength, hoping that maybe somehow we'll find what Your gift is for us. That we don't live in a way where we can't be sure that Jesus, You have become God's great gift to us, and we're grateful for that. I pray that You would help us to live with purpose, that we would live with the intention of bringing honor and glory to Your Father, because of all that He has done for us by sending You to us and the way that You live in us by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.